السلام عليكم. بسم الله، الحمد لله، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه والاه. وبعد، إن شاء الله tonight we will talk about everyone's most favorite topic, which is marriage, nikah. And of course everyone's least favorite topic is death, right? Although they are actually related. Top leading factor to death is basically marrying the wrong person. The first example that comes to mind when I think of this is the black widow, when we study in about spiders and stuff. So as soon as they get married, the husband is eaten by the wife, right? And as soon as the wife gives birth, or the eggs hatch and the kids come out, they eat their mother, right? This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He speaks about messed up families in the Quran, He refers to spiders. وَإِنَّ أَوْهَنَ الْبِيُوتِ لَبَيْتُ الْعَنْكَبُوتِ لَوْ كَانُوا يَعْقِلُونَ. The flimsiest of all homes is that of the spider. Why? Because the family is broken up. The husband is gone, and the wife is gone, and when the kids grow up, they eat one another, right? It's talking about the family structure. They are not close to each other. Of course, last time we spoke about marriage, and we said that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about marriage in the Quran, He calls it mithaqan ghaliza, a serious commitment, right? Also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that when He created for us spouses, like wives and husbands, this is a mu'jiza. This is like one of the signs of Allah. In Surah Al-Rum, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهَا خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls it a mu'jiza, a sign. We probably mentioned last time the story of Adam alayhi salam when he was in Jannah before Eve was created, and he felt lonely, although he was surrounded by malaika all the time, right? So at some point he couldn't live there anymore, right? So he prayed and prayed, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Eve for him. Because we as human beings, we like to be with someone of our own kind, right? لأن كلمة الإنسان comes from an uns. Uns, which means basically to feel comfortable with. So we feel comfortable with one another as human beings. We also spoke about people's desire to get married, and this is something Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created into us. So if we are born without this drive or without this urge to get married and to start a family, then the human race will die out. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created this in us, and this is one of the ni'am of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Starting from the age of 13, 14, when people reach puberty, they start thinking about marriage, right? And of course, at that time, they are not stable. Between the age of 13, 14, till the age of 18, 19, you think about, I'm talking about boys here, I don't know about sisters. You think about marrying a different girl every day. So you see a girl, Nancy, for example, oh, I want to marry Nancy. The next day, Nancy is not good, maybe Joey, Joanne, Samira, Fatima. So every, you know, a different girl every day, because we are not stable. We don't make the right decisions. So if you ask someone in grade 7 or grade 6 or 5, what do you want to do when you grow older? Today they will tell you, I want to be an engineer. Next day, I want to be a doctor. The day after, I want to be a teacher. The day after, I want to be a nurse. So they end up being a cook, right? So because we change all the time during the time. So when you hit 18, 19, and 20, you start to slow down and make stable decisions, the right decisions, calculated decisions, right? Because now you are not driven mostly by desire, but now you think about the future and what it means to be a family man or a family woman and to start a family. But before this, people are mostly driven by desire, just to be with someone, right? So this is how people think. So whether you should get married now or no, or whether you should occupy yourself with thinking about marriage, are you ready to get married or no? For the brothers, for example, they have to be able to provide, right? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about men and women in the Quran, He says, وَلِلْرِجَالِ عَلَيْهِنَّ دَرَجَةً. The men have a degree of responsibility over the women. They have to provide and they have to work and take care of the family. So the person has to be able to do this. And also for the sisters, they have also to realize what it means to be a wife, to be a mother. And for the husband, what it means to be a father, to be a husband. We spoke before about, I'm not sure here or in the masjid, about the difference between a male and a man, a woman and a female. There is a huge difference between the two, right? So for example, when you look at the Quran, every word is put in the Quran precisely. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the people who stand up for justice, He calls them men, rijal. صح؟ وجاء رجل من أقصى المدينة يسعى. The man who came to warn Musa alayhi salam because the people were conspiring to kill him. So he is called a man in the surah. رجل. صح؟ من المؤمنين رجال صدقوا مع عهد الله. There are men among the believers who have fulfilled or kept their word or have been true to their word to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so on and so forth. The examples are so many in the Quran. But when he talks about inheritance, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لِذَكَرِ مِثْلُ حَظِهِ. It doesn't talk about men, he talks about males, right? So you will get a share from inheritance even if you're an idiot, right? But you're only called a man in the Quran if you're a man. So what is the difference? The difference is between a man and a male. A male basically is someone who is able to get married and make kids. Right? This is what is called male in Arabic, or also in the Quran. But a man, a person who is able to provide, to maintain, take care of the family, to be an example, to stand up for what is right, to do the right thing, this is what is called man in the Quran. A woman, the difference between a woman and a female is someone who is able to make babies. This is the basic definition. A woman is someone who is able to take care of the family, to shoulder the responsibility of raising good kids, Muslim kids, to be able to help her husband raising good kids, take care of the family. So there's a huge difference between the two. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about Nisa, and He talks about Inath, right? Just like the men. Taba'an, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he talks about the criteria for marriage, he puts four of them. We know the hadith. تُنْكَحُ الْمَرْأَةُ لِأَرْبَعَ لِمَالِهَا وَحَسَبِهَا وَلِجَمَالِهَا وَلِدِينِهَا فَظْفَرْ بِذَاتِ الدِّينِ تَلِبَتْ يَدَكَ. He says, women are married for four reasons. Either for their beauty, for their wealth, for their status and family, or for the fact that they are practicing and they are good Muslims. They are virtuous and righteous. Then the Prophet ﷺ said, aim for the virtuous and the righteous and the practicing one. But does this mean that I should go and marry a... Have you seen Shrek? You know, Fiona, the ogre lady? Should I go and marry someone like her just because she prays five times a day?
She's beautiful.
No, I mean when she is green, like ogre. No. So there's nothing wrong Islamically if you look for the most beautiful sister, gorgeous sister, right? And there's nothing wrong if a sister looks for, mashallah, a good-looking brother from a good family. But religion has to be there somewhere. The person has to be practicing. Because if the person is not practicing, all these things don't mean anything. حَتَّى كَانْ فِي بَعْضٍ. Some of the ulama, they said, when you look at the four things that the Prophet ﷺ spoke about, if you take religion, iddeen, the person is practicing the faith. So if you have a board, put number one to the right. So if you have religion, the person is practicing, put one. Then if the person is beautiful, put a zero to the right. So you have 10 now, right? So one and zero for the beauty, 10. If the person is from a good family, then put another zero. Now you have 100, right? If the person is rich, has money, status, put another zero. So we got 1,000. So if the beauty is not there, you take a zero. You are still left with 100, right? If the person is not from a very high class family in the society, you take a zero, you're left with 10, right? If the person is not from a very rich family or is not beautiful, whatever, the three other ones, at least you are left with one at the end, which is the religion, the person is practicing. But if you just take the one at the beginning, if the person is not practicing, all these three zeros don't mean anything. No value, right? If you take out the one to the left and leave the three zeros to the right, you're left with nothing, right? Three zeros, right? So this is how he explained it. A man came to Al-Hasan al-Basri, rahimahullah, and said, there are two, three guys are proposing for my daughter. One of them is rich, one is from a very good family, and the other one is good looking, or actually the third one is a good Muslim, but he doesn't have a lot of money. He can just keep, you know, his face above, his head above the water. He can survive. So Al-Hasan al-Basri radiallahu anhu said, "Ankihha min dhiddin." So marry her to the one who is practicing. Why? He said because if he loves her, he will honor her. But if for some reason he starts to hate her, he will not be unjust to her. But if someone is not practicing, if he loves you, inshallah, he will be good. But if he doesn't love you, he will not honor you. And I've seen so many cases. The guy is married to the lady and something happens, he decides to marry another lady. So what he does, because some of the brothers are evil. I know because I'm one. So what happens, he knows that he owes mahr to the first one. And he's going to marry another one, but he doesn't want to pay another mahr. So what he does, he makes the life of the first one a living hell. So much so that she will tell him, okay, I'm going to give you the mahr, just let me go. I don't want anything from you. Then he'll take the mahr and he'll give it to the second one. And this is haram, of course. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Surah Al-Nisa says, وَإِنْ أَرَدْتُمْ إِسْتِبْدَالَ زَوْجٍ مَكَانَ زَوْجٍ وَأَتَيْتُمْ إِحْدَهُنَّ قِنْطَارًا فَلَا تَأْخُذُوا مِنْهُ شَيْءٍ. So he says, if you want to divorce one and marry another one, and you gave a heap of gold or a mountain of gold to the first one, don't take a penny of it, right? This is her haq, this is her mahr, right? Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib, rahimahullah, he was a scholar and a great man. Two people proposed to his daughter. One of them was al-Walid ibn al-Khalifa, Abd al-Malik ibn Marwan. He proposed and he said, I'm going to pay hundreds of thousands of dinars, gold. Then Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib offered his daughter to his student who basically had nothing, right? And he asked of 2 dinars for mahr from his student. That's like, we're talking about 5-7 bucks, right? That's all. Why? Because he was aiming at a deen, someone who's practicing. But if she got married to the son of the Khalifa, who was spoiled, he's going to make her life miserable, right? So you always look for someone who's practicing. Now, that deen that the Prophet ﷺ talks about in the hadith, what does it mean to be practicing? Should I look for a sister, for example, with a beard, right? No, this goes for the brother. Because people sometimes judge by the looks. What the Prophet ﷺ talks about in the hadith, a person who is practicing, not only the looks is one thing, right? But also, al-mu'amalat. Every deen al-Islami, the religion stands on 2 feet. One is ibadat, your relationship with Allah. This is good if the person prays all the time, he fasts in Ramadan, hijab, all these things, this is good. But the second half of the faith is mu'amalat. How do you deal with the people? How honest you are, how nice you are to the people. Good and kind and respectful and courteous, all these things. So sometimes some people will focus on al-ibadat, you know, praying and fasting and all these things, but when it comes to mu'amalat, some people are just nasty, right? And some people are nice, but they don't pray, which I don't recommend either, right? So a person should have to keep the balance between the relationship with Allah and also the relationship with the people. So this is what we mean by practicing. Someone who knows halal and haram. That's it. Someone who knows the rights and their obligations, responsibilities. That's all we need, right? So we don't ask people to have like a PhD in Islamic studies to be qualified as a good Muslim. No, we're not asking for this. You know halal and haram, what is right and what is wrong, your rights and obligations, and khalas. That's all we need from you. There is a sunnah that the Sahaba used to do that we, unfortunately, we don't have these days. They used to offer their daughters and their sons for marriage. They would go to, someone of the Sahaba would go to another Sahabi and would say, I know you're a good brother, would you please marry my daughter? There is nothing wrong in this. I know in our culture, if you come from a Muslim country, and if you tell someone, why don't you offer your daughter to someone, they'll say, okay. They make you feel like you hurt their feelings because you make them feel like your daughter is miserable, no one is interested in her. But this is something the Sahaba did. There is a hadith in Bukhari, لما تأيمت حفصة بنت عمر رضي الله عنها, her husband died, rahimahullah. He was in Medina, a Sahabi. So her husband passed away. So Umar رضي الله عنه offered his daughter to Uthman رضي الله عنه. Can I please marry you, my daughter? Because he knows he's a good Muslim, right? But if someone comes to you, you don't know anything about them, you don't know, right? But if you know someone and you offer them your daughter or your son in marriage, this is a good thing because you already know them, right? So Uthman radiallahu anhu said, would you please give me some more time? I want to think about it. As I said, this is in Bukhari. He came to him 2 days later and he said, لا أرى أن أتزوج في يوم هذا. I don't think I need to get married for the time being. خلاص. So Umar radiallahu anhu was angry because he offered, and his offer was turned down, and that was hard on him. Then, now this is the worst part. He went to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and mashallah, high expectations. I think when I offer my daughter to Abu Bakr, the greatest Sahabi after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's going to accept immediately. And he's my good friend too. So, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was sitting there. Umar radiallahu anhu went up to him and he shook his hand and he said, I'm offering you my daughter in marriage. So he said that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu looked at the floor and he didn't even respond to me. At least Uthman radiallahu anhu said something 2 days later, but nothing, he didn't say a word. I was so offended. He was so angry. A few days later, the Prophet ﷺ proposed to Hafsa radiallahu anha, and he married her. Then Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu went to Umar radiallahu anhu and said, do you know why I didn't answer? Because I heard the Prophet ﷺ mention your daughter that he was going to propose. And I didn't want to give, to publicize the secret of Rasulullah. Now you know, I told you, khalas. But the point is, he offered his daughter to Uthman radiallahu anhu and to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu in marriage. And there is nothing wrong Islamically in this. When you look for someone to marry, I'm going to touch on some basic points that I think, inshallah, will help you to find out, to find the right person, smoke him out, right, for the marriage. Number one, مسألة الكفاءة في النكاح. There's something they call كفاءة. It's hard to translate in English. The closest word is equality. We have this term in Arabic, I'm not sure if it exists in English. Someone who is cut from the same cloth. Does it make any sense? Like someone who shares something with you. Someone that you have some common grounds with, right? And by this, I don't mean someone who is vegetarian like you, someone who supports the blue, what is that hockey team? Blue Jays, yeah. Not necessarily. We're the common grounds are the religion, right? That you are practicing, you love Islam, you want to raise a good Muslim family. So these are the backgrounds. You know halal and haram. You know your rights and your responsibilities. But if you are a vegetarian and she is a carnivore, you are conservative and she is liberal. You support hockey, she supports soccer, right? There's nothing wrong. I mean, you will never find two identical couples in this whole world. There has to be something different. And still they make 10 babies together, right? Why? Because all these things don't matter, really. So what matters is they have the foundation, which is Islam, and to know what is right and what is wrong. Of course, part of the kafa'a, yani some of the ulama require, there's a huge difference among the ulama, what is kafa'a and all these things. If someone comes from humble backgrounds and he's proposing to a sister from a noble family and all these things, someone is older, someone is younger, someone from a different culture, someone from a different race, all these things don't really matter in Sharia. Because we see the Sahaba, you will see interracial marriages between the Sahaba, right? And some of them were rich, some were poor. You'll see someone like the Prophet ﷺ, he came from humble backgrounds and he was married to Khadija radiallahu anha. She was rich, right? She was older, he was younger. These things don't really matter. But as I said, they have to have some common ground so they can understand each other and they can survive together. One of the things, I've done a lot of counseling sessions, and there are some reasons why families always, or actually marriages, end in divorce. One of them was, I call it the Oscar factor. The Oscar factor is when people are acting before marriage, right, for the Oscars. Ah, sister, you know, I pray all the time. Inshallah, after we get married, we're going to go to Ramadan for Hajj. Well, there's no Hajj in Ramadan, but it's not a problem. The thing is, the guy is bluffing, right? And the sister, mashallah, I'm going to wake you up all night for Salah and Ibadah, right? And she's going to wake him up all night to talk about vacations and the bills and all that stuff, right? Just be yourself, right? If you don't pray on time, or if you have defects in your personality, just be frank about it, right? You don't hide things from someone who's going to share the next 50, 60 years of your life in this world, and when you go to Jannah together, you'll be together as well. I know this comes as bad news for a lot of brothers every time I say this. I remember one time one of the shiuf was giving a khutbah, and he was describing people in Jannah, right? So he said, mashallah, you will go to your place in Jannah, and you will fly, and the people, you can hear the excitement in the masjid. If you see a goose or a duck and you wish to have it for lunch, it's going to fall right in front of you with hummus and rice and all the salad and all the good stuff, mashallah. The people, takbir. Then, mashallah, the rivers of honey, the rivers of milk, the rivers of alcohol and all the takbir, people are excited. Then al-hur al-ayn, they will come toward you and the people are excited and some people faint in the back. Oh, mashallah, everybody's excited. Then the sheikh said, then comes your wife. I said, la hawla wa la quwwata illa. Are we still talking about Jannah or we're talking about Jahannam here? Right? So this is a very serious decision. If you have sleep apnea, you snore, right? People like from the, you know, from like 2 miles away can hear you. I mean, this is something you need to talk about, right? If you have problems, if you have health problems, because people get married, and like one case, one sister said, okay, I got married to this guy. He told me he's a professor or something, and she later found out that he couldn't even read or write. Things like this, or jobs, or money, people keep secrets from each other and they act. I love this story. Bilal radiallahu anhu, you know Bilal, the Sahabi. His brother told him he was going to propose to a lady. You know, Bilal radiallahu anhu came from a slave background and his brother was the same thing. So he said to his brother, I want to propose to this Arab lady from a noble family. So would you please come with me and give me some support, like a reference, tell them something nice about us, so inshallah they will marry me, their daughter. So it's no problem. Then Bilal radiallahu anhu went with his brother to the family and he said, إِنَّ الْحَمْدَ لِلَّهِ إِنَّنَا مَنْ قَدْ عَرَفْتُمْ. أنا بلال وهذا أخي كنا عبديني فأعتقنا الله وكنا فقيرين فأغنانا الله وكنا ضالين فهدانا الله فإن تنكحوه فالحمد لله وإن تردونا فالله أكبر. Right? خلاص. فزوجوه. تمام؟ Now English. So they went to the family. So Bilal رضي الله عنه started to give the talk. And he said, I'm Bilal and this is my brother. We used to be slaves and Allah gave us freedom. We used to be poor and Allah made us rich. We were misguided, Allah gave us guidance and elevated us. If you wish to marry him, your daughter, alhamdulillah, but if you turn him down, Allah Akbar. Allah is bigger than all of us. Allah is the greatest. So they said, okay, alhamdulillah, we'll marry him, our daughter. Khalas, they accepted the offer. The problem is, on the way back, Bilal's brother was so mad. Like he said, I brought you here to say something nice about me. أَلَا كُنْتَ ذَكَرْتَ سَبْقَنَا مَعَ النَّبِي صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ مُجَهَدَنَا وَإِجْرَتَنَا. He said, why didn't you talk about our hijrah? We accepted Islam early on. We were with the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم all the time. We did all these good things. Now you're talking about slavery, about poverty, about misery. What is this? فَقَالَ لَهُ أُسْكُتْ فَإِنَّمَا زَوَّجَكَ الصِّدْقِ. Right? He said, keep your mouth shut because you got married because of my truth, because I'm honest. Right? So, be honest. Right? Now we'll talk briefly about interracial marriages. You know, this is a very controversial issue in the Muslim world because a lot of families are against it, right? Egyptians, Libyans, Saudis, for the most part, Kurdistan, of course. If you are from one of these countries and you go to your dad and say, well, I want to marry a sister from Sudan or a sister from Somalia or a sister from Morocco, you will be lucky if he shoots you twice, right? Because a lot of people are against interracial marriages, right? As I said, the Sahaba, yani, married people from different backgrounds and different races, and there was no problem because Islam was there. A lot of us think, if you get married to someone from another race, they will win over and you will not have the connection with your family and your wife will not have anything in common with your family, so there will be a rift in the family. So people have all these worries. I've seen a couple of cases where the interracial marriages ended in divorce. Now we have a brother from Lebanon, if I remember correctly, and the sister was from Algeria. He came to me, we're sitting there, and they used to speak Arabic at home. And the Lebanese, I talk Arabic too, right? But I find it almost impossible to understand someone from Lebanon, unless they speak slowly, right? Also, it's almost impossible for me to understand someone from Tunisia or Algeria if they speak fast, right? I don't know. So now, imagine if both of them are talking now, right? He talks in Arabic, totally different from the Algerian or Tunisian Arabic. So one time they came to me for counseling and they said, okay, I don't understand. Because of the cultural differences and the language barrier, although both speak Arabic, but I saw it as a language barrier. So one time, she said, she raised her voice to me and she cussed at me, right? I said, why did you do this? She said, well, I didn't raise my voice, but this is how we speak at home, back home, right? It's a cultural thing. And I didn't cuss at him. The word, I don't remember the word she said, or I don't remember the word fashqa or something like that. It means walk faster, but in his language or something, it's like an insult. I said, she didn't mean anything wrong, but this is how they speak, and in her language, this is okay, right? But again, because of all these, you know, the differences, things happen. But again, if the love is there, and Islam is the foundation for the marriage, it should work, inshallah. I remember one time, I think it was an American, Canadian sister, new Muslim sister, she got married to a brother, I think from Libya. Is there anyone here from Libya? Bahi. Okay, so what happened? They got married. They went to Libya to spend their... I don't mean to offend her. It's a funny story, right? So they traveled together to Libya, right? So for their honeymoon, they stayed in the family's house in Trablus or Benghazi. And the lady was telling us that her husband, he went downstairs. They sit like in front of the house as we do in Egypt.